Just like in deity worship, we do the Abhyanga and Abhivadana. Abhivadana we do in the beginning. We do Purvavidhi, the preparation for the deity worship. In the same manner, in doing any spiritual activity, there are some preliminary requirements that are prescribed to be followed. In the same manner in Ashtanga Yoga also, because the person's mind and senses tend to be uncontrolled and unmanageable, that is why we find in Ashtanga Yoga there is Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, and Pratyahara, all these things are prescribed before. And then one goes to Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So we met TKB Iyengar once, along with Prasanna Raghunath Swami Maharaj. He was selling, the mind is called as the Ekadasha Indriya, he was selling, the 11th Indriya. But if the mind is counted as Ekadasha Indriya, then it runs into the material world of enjoyment, joining along with the senses, outwardly, and tries to squeeze out some happiness into the material world, and such a mind can never be happy. But if mind, instead of being counted as 11th Indriya, if it is counted amongst the Antakarana, along with Buddhi, the Shuddha Ahankar, with all those things, then the mind can be withdrawn from the outside world and invested in the Supreme Lord, which is the actual goal of Ashtanga Yoga, he was telling. So the Purva Vidhi preliminaries are prescribed only to help us to do that, so that we can withdraw the mind and invest in the meditation of the Supreme. So in the first preliminary stage, Yama and Niyama, Patanjali says, Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Aparigraha, Yamaha. So there are many don'ts said there, which means don't cause injury to others, physical or mental. Then he says, Ahimsa, Satya means don't break truthfulness, which means never tell lies. Because if you tell lies, you can never be peaceful. If you pick up quarrel with another devotee, anger, or fight, or misunderstanding, we cannot be peaceful. Asteya means don't steal the credit that is due for others, he says. That's called Asteya. Because if I have stolen the credit meant for someone else, I cannot be peaceful. Because you know, any time somebody will come to know, the whole world may catch me that I have stolen the credit meant for others, like scientists do sometimes. So Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, like that he says, Brahmacharya, if one has illicit connections, he cannot be peaceful. In this way, whatever is likely to disturb one's peace, those things are prescribed. If you avoid these things, then similarly he says, do not accumulate more than necessary, he says. Because if you accumulate more than necessary, a lot of your energy, time will go in maintaining it and also worrying about it. The more we possess, the more those things are likely to be damaged or stolen away, and our anxiety goes in that direction. So lesser the possession, lesser is the anxiety also. Like that he says. Similarly he says in Niyam. Niyam means that one should follow certain rules and regulations. So there also he prescribes other things, many valuable things. Shaucha, cleanliness, santosha. You know, always one should be peaceful and satisfied with whatever Krishna given facilities. Svadhyaya, intensive study of the scriptures, and japa. Japa also means chanting and meditation. And Ishara Pranidhani says, taking shelter of the Supreme God. So many things he says like that. These are the do's you do. So don'ts and do's are given there. Similarly, in our chanting also, if the heart is not prepared to receive the holy name very nicely, then our endeavor is likely to be ineffective. For example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched the chest of Amogha, and he said, how can you allow envy to reside in your heart, O Brahmana? You know, where Lord Krishna is supposed to reside, he said. So if envy is residing in somebody's heart, so Krishna simultaneously cannot reside. That's what he wanted to say, isn't it? Similarly, you find Tapan Mishra, he was very learned and he had accumulated a lot of books, many spiritual literature. After reading extensively for tens of years, he was not satisfied in his life. He was always frustrated and dissatisfied. So once when he met Nimai Pandit, Acharya Mahaprabhu, Acharya Mahaprabhu told him, my instruction to you is put aside all these things. Just chant the holy name. So he was one person to whom he gave the Hare Krishna mantra. And then Tavamsha became a great devotee and he ordered him to go to Varanasi. So that he can later on go and deliver Prakashan and Saraswati and associates. So here we find Chitra Mahaprabhu saying that if one's mind is always making speculation about God, what God could be this, God could be that, maybe this is right, maybe that's wrong. If one is not able to ascertain the truth firmly by taking shelter of a bona fide Vaishnava Guru, then such a person's mind, which tends to be whimsical in different directions, such a person also cannot be peaceful in life. So we often talk about the heart and the mind. The mind is certainly superficial, but heart is more deeper. Like rebellion is a problem of the heart. Similarly, disobedience is a problem of the heart. Envy is a problem of the heart. But there are other, like lust also is called as hridrogam. It's a problem of the heart. So anything that involves a wicked, mischievous mentality is counted as a problem of the heart. And anything that is made by mistakes, slips, they are counted as a problem of the mind. So mind has impurities and heart has wrong attitudes. So both these things, one has to be working on rectifying that. The nature of the mind to dwell on useless subjects, like speculation, or the nature of the mind to hold the seeds of useless anarthas. At the same time, the heart, which is filled with wrong attitudes, one has to rectify those wrong attitudes by. But what is the solution to rectify the wrong attitude? To adopt the right attitude. That's simple. Yes. First, understand that I have a wrong attitude, so I have to adopt the right attitude. So I'm speaking angrily with the devotee. Give it up. Speak nicely with the devotee. That's all. Of course, that takes a lot of surrender to that. So, giving up wrong attitude and adopting right attitudes. And avoiding the disturbance-producing elements in the mind. Like, I was telling you, ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, all these things we have to follow. If you don't follow those items given in the yama stage, don't. Then we are keeping disturbance-producing elements in the mind and we cannot peacefully chant. Like for example, you have a misunderstanding with the devotee, you sit to chant, and again the thought will come in the mind. Similarly, you told lies to somebody to promote yourself. Then while chanting, you are afraid that somebody should not tell him that, I told him a lie or something. So we have to prepare. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Amogha, many examples you can give. So I read in one place, Prabhupada says, how can one chant the holy name when such vicious elements are residing in one's heart? As the Prabhupada asks, how can one ever chant the holy name? With the envy in another devotee, competing with another devotee. Like the Prabhupada is saying in one place. So now somebody may ask the question, Hridayantastoghi abhadrani vidhunoti suratsatani, they say, that all that is troublesome to the heart will be destroyed by the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing of the holy name. So are we supposed to remove the anarthas by hearing the holy name, or are we first supposed to clean these things and then await for the holy name to enter the heart? So initially it's certainly a very difficult task to chant the holy name with all these impurities. That is the reason why we struggle so much to chant. Why we feel so tired after chanting? Because we are not able to let the holy name in, inside only. because these anarthas and of the heart and mind, they don't let it come in. But because of the mercy of Guru, mercy of Acharya, mercy of the holy name, little bit holy name enters and does little cleaning job, and we immediately tell the holy name, enough of this cleaning job, get out now. So little cleaning job is done. Little anarthas are cleaned. Now because that cleaning that holy name has done makes the place so wonderful, then we reconsider allowing the holy name next day. Okay, yesterday we did a good job, okay, little more cleaning, but not the whole room. I like to be in uncleanliness, little bit only you should do and go. Like that, every day you let the holy name to do little, little cleaning. And what happens, in the association of great souls, sometimes we also tend to take shelter of Supreme Lord helplessly, occasionally, once in a while. And that lets the holy name to take lead and come into the heart, and do a little more cleaning. So, if we are convinced that I have to give up these attachments and foolishness and anarthas of the mind and heart one day, the more we welcome the holy name and enthrone it in our heart, to that degree very quickly the holy name can clear up all the anarthas. Although the anarthas are there in the heart, holy name will not refuse to come in, provided we take a very firm shelter and we beg Krishna, because it is said that beautiful verse, Vekreditam Vrajapadu Viridam Chavishno Shraddhanvita Anushunyat Atavarna Yedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hridrogam Ashwapahiroti Achirena Dhiraha. He says, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. Having the bhakti entered into the heart of a practitioner, the lust is driven out, it says. So initially there is only lust, then there is lust and bhakti, then there is only bhakti. So bhakti comes in and drives out lust, it is said. Which means, this verse proves that even with all the anarthas and impurities, still the holy name can be welcomed inside, provided the shraddhanvita, anu shrunuyat, it says. With great transcendental faith, in parampara if one hears, and repeats this message of Srimad Bhagavatam again with great transcendental faith. Which means the faith makes up for the lack of qualification. The faith and sincere surrender makes up for the lack of qualification. If somebody says, no, first I'll qualify and then only I will allow the holy name, which means you will have to first clean the heart first and then only can allow, which is almost an arduous task, impossible task. But with all anarthas, if we still want to attract Krishna into our heart, then we have to fall flat on the ground and take shelter. And that is why the begging and prayer is so important. If that understanding is there, proper understanding is there, that is why this humility, tolerance, no expectation of any respect from others, and giving respect to all living entities. These four things are said. Why? Because these qualities, they lead one to a mood of prayer. Like, tolerance means perseverance on one hand and patience on the other hand towards others. For myself, I will be strict and I will persevere. And for others, I will be very patient. Similarly, humility means not anxious to be honored by others at all. Yeah. And not expecting respect means even when one is insulted, one doesn't feel bad. And one doesn't, if you don't expect any respect from anybody, then one is always peaceful. And one respects every living entity, even an ant. So one devotee was speaking, respecting an ant doesn't mean you offer obeisances to an ant when you see it. He said, respecting an ant means not hurt other living entities. So in this way, when one adopts the right attitude, then this attitude of this prayer, then Krishna agrees to come into the heart of the devotee, despite all the unclean anarthas. And he is willing to do the cleaning job. Pravishya chittam vidunotya shesham. Entering the heart and vidunotya shesham. Completely without a trace, he cleans up all the anarthas. So, yes, the holy name can be chanted even by a conditioned soul. Even with unlimited anarthas in the heart, provided on one hand he sincerely desires to clean up the heart, on the other hand he sincerely prays to Krishna, understanding Krishna is the only person who can do that job. With these two attitudes, if one is chanting the holy name, surely one is progressing. हर नाम प्रभु की।